All right, good afternoon. Thank you for sticking around for this part of our presentation. I'm Catherine Sherwood, and Lisa's sitting there at the end of the table. And we are a team of five or six, actually. We are teamed up with colleagues from our Center for Innovative Teaching and Learning, and also another colleague in medical sciences who has done some of this research prior, who we're learning from, and also Dr. David Lorman, who's in the back of the room, who's the chair of our department in applied health science. So. We don't have any relationships to disclose, but we do want to acknowledge that we did receive a grant from our Vice Provost's Office for Undergraduate Education through our Center for Teaching and Learning. Presentation, we're going to talk a little bit about the background, why we even started or implemented this program, a little bit about the literature that's out there, an overview of the course, which it's titled, it's a pedagogy course in health behavior, H750. We do have some initial findings, which we're really excited about, and we just shared the initial findings with our students last week, and then a little bit about our lessons learned having gone through this process so far. A little bit of background about our department. We have about 30 doctoral students, or we call them associate instructors. Those are the doctoral students who teach our courses. They're primarily content courses, human sexuality, stress management, women's health, consumer health. And we found out in preparation for our proposal to the faculty that our associate instructors reach over 2,000 undergraduate students per each semester. So, and they also teach every semester, and they sometimes teach in the summer. So we are, our AIs are interacting with our undergraduate students in a profound way. I am the assistant chair of the department, and this is my responsibility to work with our associate instructors and get them ready for the classroom. And over the years, I've tried something different, something new. We've gone from a full-day orientation session to a three-day workshop with some more intense sessions with the students who are teaching those content courses together. And I'm also the one that gets all the complaints and frustrations from not only our AIs, but also from some of the students in the classroom who might be frustrated with their instructor. We also reviewed some of the other courses on the campus that are pedagogy courses for doctoral students, and we felt like we needed to be in that pool and having conversations with colleagues who are doing the same. We realized that we need a new structure. Obviously, we knew that these three-day workshops, one-day trainings were not sufficient. We also did workshops throughout the academic semesters as well, so we didn't like set them up the week before school started and let them go and hope everything went well. So we discussed the possibility of a pedagogy course for our doctoral students. A little bit of evidence in the literature to support why we did this. We find out that many of our PhD students do matriculate in institutions where teaching is a primary responsibility. We wanted to make sure that our students were learning about what it meant to be part of the academy in terms of teaching. They were getting a great foundation and experience in research. We wanted to make sure that that they're provided opportunities for growth, that they didn't just go in and lecture and walk out and not really have some time to reflect on their teaching. And what we have found out over the years, all of us who are in teaching in academic situations, we know that we always walk out of the classroom saying, what went well, what didn't go well, what can I do next time? And we want to instill that type of culture with our students. We also found what was interesting with the last bullet point here was the research showed that when students, our graduate students, enter their first academic experience and teaching is part of their requirements, that they kind of coasted, and I'm not saying there weren't bumps along the way in terms of the research, but coasted into that position with a little less anxiety, a little bit less stress, because they knew how to prepare themselves to teach those classes. And then it helped enhance their research experience as well, that they didn't feel overwhelmed with both research and teaching and service, trying to figure out where do I spend my time, and having that teaching experience helped them enter a little bit with less stress. We found out through our literature review that there are pedagogy courses that exist, but we couldn't find anything specific to the field of public health. And so our timeline was, we started this about a year ago. We developed a curriculum, the course proposal. Of course, we went to our chair, and as we said, give me the foundation, give me give me some evidence that we need this, even though he knows, right, Dave? You know that we needed this, but we needed to have the evidence to bring to our faculty, particularly our faculty who are chairs and advisors for our doctoral students, to come in and say, we want to add a three-credit course, required course for our first-year doctoral students to their, what we call our course prescription. So we did get support from our chair and the faculty. We applied for what we call our SOTL grant, our Scholarship of Teaching and Learning grant. We developed the research protocols last summer, and we implemented the course starting August of this fall semester. And we have, like I said, we have collected some preliminary data, which we're going to share with you today. Just a brief overview of the course, three-credit course. It is required for all first-time associate instructors. We do have a student in the course this semester who has been a doctoral student in our program for 3 years. She's at the end of her third year, beginning the end of her third year, but this is the first time she's teaching for us, so she was required to take the course as well. We have 9 enrolled students. Sounds like a magic number of 9 students in these courses. And it's a nice group of students where we've had really good discussions about their anxieties regarding teaching. Elisa is a doctoral student in our program, and she and I co-teach this course, and I couldn't do it without her. So it's been a wonderful experience for me to work with a doctoral student in mentoring. The structure, how we've developed the structure, and this may change over time, we don't know. On our campus, we have first 8-week courses and second 8-week courses, and we were able to coordinate with our department that the first-year associate instructors do not teach those first 8 weeks. And they just started teaching the second 8 weeks course. I think they're in their second week. And we are very time intensive. The first 8 weeks we meet Mondays and Wednesdays for 2.5 hours. And the second 8 weeks we only meet on Wednesdays. We talk about reflection, what went well in the class, what didn't go well in the class, what are some of the things we need to talk through regarding approaches to teaching, grading papers, and so forth. So that's where we are right now. Just some sample topics before I turn over to Elisa. We've had lots of guest speakers from across campus, primarily in resources related to ethics, incivility in the classroom, writing tutorial services, our counseling and psychological services. We've had our content and also our pedagogy experts come in and speak about backward design and learning theories. Our students, like any teacher, they want these active learning techniques. It's really nice to see our students not want to go in and just lecture. They really want the students to be engaged with them in the classroom. And the syllabus development, which I find very helpful because we're able to cross-reference what they said in one part of the syllabus, did it really match up in the other part of the syllabus. Because what I found in this position over the last 4 years is students will find loopholes, and they'll find that loophole, and they'll pin their associate instructor against the wall and say, this is a syllabus, and this is a loophole. So we try to work really diligently to make sure those loopholes are tightened and don't exist. The assignments, everything from a teaching philosophy, which they will revise by the end of the semester. They do some micro teaching. They want more micro teaching. They have conducted 2 classroom observations with faculty as well as other associate instructors who have taught. They're in the process of their reflection journals. Elisa and I are in the process of reading their first reflection journals at this point in time. And at the end, they'll have a course portfolio, teaching portfolio when they've finished. So I'm going to turn it over to Elisa and let her tell you about the research project.
Good afternoon, everyone. So you heard about the course, and we are also fortunate enough to really be able to investigate how the course is going empirically. So this is an overview of what our study looks like. It is approved by the Institutional Review Board, and students gave informed consent to participate, which all of them did. That was not a process administered by us. It was actually through our team member with the Center for Innovative Teaching and Learning. So we left the classroom. We gave an overview of what we were doing, left the classroom for them to do informed consent. So there wasn't any concern about coercion with positions of authority or anything. And then one of our big data sources is doing a pre, mid, and post test through an online survey. So we did the pre-test right at the beginning of the class before we had really dug into any of the content to get that baseline measure. We did the midpoint test right before they started teaching, but at the end of the first 8 weeks with the really intensive pedagogical content and before moving on to the more reflective forum for the class. And then we'll do a post-test at the end, which is also when they're done teaching their courses, and be able to compare how things have changed or if things have changed over time. Today we'll be able to share the pre-test and the midpoint test comparisons with you all. We're also going to be using qualitative methods to assess their course portfolios. So the idea with this is that they are really putting together all of their assignments through the that they've done for the course, but also saying how they would change things based on what they now know. So for example, they're teaching philosophy that they composed at the beginning of the course and then revised by the time they had gotten through all of our content and teaching themselves, what they learned from the micro-teaching and how they actually ended up integrating that into their own classes, that kind of thing. So we'll be able to really see their growth, assuming there's growth, by the end of the class. During our second semester of the year, our collaborator in the Center of Innovative Teaching and Learning will be conducting in-depth interviews to really be able to dig a little bit deeper into the quantitative data that we have and be able to ask some follow-up questions after they've been in the classroom and then that they're teaching again. And then we'll also be doing a course comparison. Our other colleague who's in medical sciences who has studied her pedagogy course did some in-depth interviews last year, and so we'll be able to compare our results with hers to really understand not only are we seeing about what we're seeing about pedagogy courses in general, but what's really specific to public health versus other medical and health disciplines. What are the things that we really need to make sure that we're focusing on versus other areas? And then we'll also be looking at undergraduate course evaluations of our enrolled associate instructors. So here's what we have so far to share with you in terms of our quantitative data. Let me just talk you through this because I know it's a lot of information. These are not the only outcomes that we assessed, but we did find them to be some of the ones most crucial to the goals of the course. And you'll see in that first column after the item, that was where our AIs were at pretest. To be quite frank, it was actually a little higher than we expected based on the feedback we've gotten from previous years. We do have several enrolled AIs who have some experience with being teaching assistants in their master's program and that kind of thing, so that's sort of our hypothesis about why it's actually even a little higher. But then the second column is at mid-test, and this was out of 100%. And then you'll see the difference in that last column, and then the bolded and starred are the ones that are statistically significant in terms of the difference. And so we were really pleased to see that everything either increased or remained stable, and that was just in an 8-week period of time. We still have 8 weeks more to go. So we were able to successfully help our AIs to feel more confident with developing their syllabus, their learning objectives, assessing student learning, and so on. Interestingly enough, what they were reporting the biggest difference with, that about 35 percentage point increase, was being more knowledgeable, comfortable with resources at IU. And I think that we actually didn't completely expect that for there to be that much of a change. And we wonder if that's because not only do our doctoral students want to feel comfortable referring their students to resources in the IU community, but they're also new to the IU community. And so these are resources not only for our undergraduates, but for them themselves as students. I will say that something that did go, the only item that went in the reverse direction, was that last one. I am likely to look for an academic position where teaching is the focus as compared to research. And, you know, we did a little bit of thinking about that. We were a little surprised because, of course, this is a class in which we want our doctoral students to really gain an appreciation for teaching and understanding. And, in fact, we think that because we're accomplishing that, that's why it went in the reverse direction. So we did a little bit of follow-up in class and said, you know, here's what we found. Anybody have feedback about this? And we think that what may be responsible is that, first of all, at the pretest, you know, this was students entry into the doctoral program. They had an open mind about taking on any potential opportunities. And so they said, you know, sure, teaching, just like I'd say, sure, research, you know, that's, you know, anything is a possibility. And now, you know, 8 weeks into their doctoral program, they're starting to focus more on research and starting to see that that's a direction they may want to go in. The other thing is that the midpoint was right when they were really digging in to preparing for their class. And we got feedback, as we all know who teach, that it takes a lot of time, especially when you're teaching for the first time, teaching a class for the first time. And our AIs were understandably feeling a little overwhelmed with the amount of time and preparation, particularly with all of their competing priorities being students themselves. And so we think that this was also related to the fact that they said, wow, if this is how much time it's going to take to have a teaching-focused position, I'm not sure if I want to sign up for that. And so so we're very curious to see once they actually are in the classroom and have that experience and become more familiar and comfortable how this might change in either direction. In terms of our qualitative feedback, our AIs were reporting that they were finding some things very valuable about the course. They really appreciated the guest speakers, which made us feel good because we really did try to get our resident experts in different areas. Also reported really being happy that they had exposure to our different campus resources, and also that they had the space, a forum, to really develop their course materials and feedback. So before this course, AIs were expected to develop their syllabus and then go into the classroom, but this really gave them several weeks to get feedback from us, feedback from their peers, talk about the types of assignments they wanted. So to really have that space to get feedback and to have a little bit more time to develop all of these materials. We also asked questions about, okay, if you were to have this experience again, what would you want to have a little different? And given that we have 8 weeks left, what else can we bring to you? And so interestingly, the big theme was that they actually wanted more micro-teaching or more time in the micro-teaching. We gave them 20 minutes and they wanted more. And so we were actually pretty pleased that if the criticism was that they wanted more of something, that's something that we can handle. They said that there weren't actually any major topics missing. We were wondering if there were things that we hadn't thought of to integrate into the course schedule. But they actually said that they felt like everything that was a major topic that they could think of, at least at this point, pre-teaching, they felt that we had discussed. But the thing that they did say looking forward into the 8 weeks that they wanted more of was that they said, we get that active learning is important. We get that doing all lecture isn't necessarily the way to go, but we need more information about how to do it. What are some specific strategies that we can bring into our classrooms? And so ask that we spend some time talking about specific strategies. So we have learned a lot in a short period of time between developing this course, implementing the course, and evaluating it thus far. We really could not have done this without the support of our chair, Dr. Lohrmann, and really having him be supportive of us piloting this course and studying it. And that also, despite the fact that we are at a research-based institution, there is a very much an appreciation of teaching. And so we are within a structure in which this is something that makes sense and people see the value of us investigating. Also, having a collaborative team, both in terms of myself and Dr. Sherwood Laughlin, she is our resident expert in the department for all things teaching. She's been at IU, we realized, between her doctoral experience for over 20 years and has supervised all the AIs for many, many years. And so she hears it all and knows it all. And while I am newer to teaching, I care very much about it, have had the opportunity to really dig into some of the research and have been there, done that very recently in terms of what our new AIs are going through. So I've had the opportunity to say, this is what I really wish I knew when I started. These are some strategies that, have worked or haven't worked for me in these specific courses that you all are also teaching. And so I think it's been a really wonderful collaborative relationship with the two of us and for me to have the mentoring experience of working with Dr. Sherwood Laughlin, but also with our entire team. Having someone from the Center for Innovative Teaching and Learning has been so crucial for us to say, hey, we're thinking about this. Does that make sense with what you're seeing around campus, what you know, what are these gaps? And having funding to be able to study it. In terms of possible barriers, fortunately, we have not really experienced these as of yet, and we hope we never will, but it is possible that because this is a special topics class right now and not fully integrated into the curriculum, at whatever point we try to do that, assuming that that's the direction we go in, there may be some concerns with buy-in from our faculty members, and also just fitting it into our doctoral students' course prescription. That every course is golden. We have 2 years of coursework, and so there might be some resistance in terms of saying, this is, you want to take up one of these courses when there are so few already with this. But we also found that, so I'll just say that we also had some additional benefits And so just in concluding, we really have found, at least thus far, that there has been a lot of utility of our course and the model that we've chosen, and we feel really fortunate that we've had this opportunity to explore not only how to train our next generation of public health educators, but then they're training our next level of public health practitioners. So thanks very much.